Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It is a blessed day, my brothers and sisters, and we, Brother Harold Copeland and myself, are super excited that you have planned to be with us on this broadcast. It is not by chance that you tuned in today. It was the very hand of God that led you to listen to what he has for you through this broadcast, Mission from the Heart Radio. So we are just excited that you are with us today. We are still in this wonderful broadcast, wonderful lesson on the broadcast under the umbrella of discipleship. And we continue the focus, the very nature of God. So you're in for a treat, as you always are, when we get together on this broadcast. I tell you, it's a joy. It's a joy. It's just a delightful joy to spend time in the Word of God, understanding and just relishing in God's graciousness through his word, understanding his nature through his word, and most of all, experiencing him through salvation. And this is what God wants from his children, for us to experience him because we are born again. Born again believers. And that comes with benefits. And one is to experience him. So we're going to just get right to our lesson today as Minister Copeland comes in and fills us with the Word of God through the Word of God. So I want Minister Copeland to go ahead and just lead us by the hand as we continue in our wonderful series under the umbrella of discipleship, but main focus is the very nature of God. Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concerning you, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse 16. Hello again, everybody. We welcome you. We release the blessings of God upon you on this day. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are together in studio again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio broadcast. We always want you to know that it is an honor to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you, that we appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart that will release his divine plan for your life, and you too shall stand and fulfill God's destiny for your life. As was said earlier, we are still on the series under the umbrella of discipleship. And today, our focus, we will be discussing the topic, the very nature of God. And with no further ado, let us dive right on into this teaching. And you know we always like to start out by reading our lunch pad scripture. in our lunch pad scripture for this particular series comes out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, starting with verse 16 through verse 20.
Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen. Our foundational scripture for this teaching comes out of the book of Ephesians. That's Ephesians chapter number 3, starting with verse 16 through verse 21.
Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Now, in this teaching, we have established by scripture through all the previous teaching. And if you miss any of them, then you can go to the podcast and you can review every one of them. And you can catch up and get on one accord with us. But through scripture, we have revealed the very nature of God. And the very nature of God is the agape, the unconditional love, the love of God that, as Paul was saying, surpasses knowledge. As Paul was saying, the love of God that's so high you can't go over it, so low you can't go under it, with length and breadth that you can't go around it. The very nature of God. But the God of the Bible looked different as we analyze the covenant that he dealt with people, the testaments. He looked, the God of the Bible looked like a harsh God in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And then we turn around and In the New Testament, the New Covenant, he looks like the loving God. And we asked ourselves, what makes the difference? Is it that one blank page that between the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament? Do that blank page make that much of a difference in the appearance of our God, the God of the Bible? And we let it be known that the difference is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And today we are going to harmonize. Somebody say harmonize. We are going to harmonize the Old Testament and the New Testament, and reveal by Scripture how much a difference does the Christ, our Jesus, makes in having an intimate, loving relationship with our God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let us set this up with Scripture. We will be reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter 9, book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting with verse 1 through verse 8.
Matthew 9, verse 1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men.
Amen. Who has given such power to man. Now the religious leaders that was challenging Jesus, we have to say that they did not have any spiritual discernment. They was natural people, they was carnal people, and they could only discern with their five senses. What they can touch, feel, taste, hear, see, or smell. That's the only way they could make any type of decision. So Jesus started out with the sick man, and he told him to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And he was challenged. Jesus was challenged by the religious leaders. And they said the only one that have the power to forgive sin is God. You are blaspheming. And they was going by the natural five senses. Naturally, how does it look when a sin is forgiven? Can we touch it, feel it? Can we taste it, hear it, see it, smell it? No, we cannot. Five cents of sin then forgiven. So they could not make a real discernment of what Jesus was capable of doing concerning sin and of what power he had concerning sin. So if they would have left it right there, it would have been Jesus' word against their word, because a sin forgiven cannot be naturally discerned. So Jesus took it a step further. He was operating in the spirit because the word say he knew their thoughts. So he knew their thoughts by the Spirit of God. And he said, which is easy, to say whether your sins are forgiven or take up your bed and walk. And he knew what type of discernment they was operating in, which is the five senses. So he turned around to give them something that their five senses could measure quickly. Take up that bed and walk. If Jesus did not have the power to make the paralytic take up his bed and walk, they would have known real quick, immediately. But if he had the power, they would have also known through their five senses immediately. He gave them what they was looking for. And he commanded the man to take up his bed and walk. And immediately it was discerned that Jesus had the power. Immediately. And so to take up that bed and walk is harder to forgive sins, because the sin, the forgiveness of sin, cannot naturally be discerned. So if Jesus can do the harder process of elimination, he can do the easier one. So by the man taking up his bed and walk, it showed that Jesus also had the power to forgive sin. If you can jump 12 feet, I would bet you can jump 6 feet. I'm not advocating betting. I'm just making an illustration. If you can do the harder thing, you surely can do the easy one. And we see that the difference, Jesus, it's as though he made an agreement with the Father. In the old covenant, the Father had to deal with sin before he can fellowship with mankind. But now Jesus is on the scene in the new covenant, and Jesus is saying, Father, I'll take care of the sin. Now you can just release your true nature on the people, and you can just love the people. And we see that Jesus had power to forgive individual sin even before he went to the cross. Now at the cross, he forgave all the sins of the world. But before the cross, he was forgiving sins individually on an individual basis. Jesus Christ is the difference between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, and the New Covenant. When people don't look at the whole Word of God, when they do not examine the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, we call that harmonizing. Harmonizing the Old Testament by way of the New Testament, what they get is they get an Old Testament picture of God. And that picture reveals God as a God of wrath, a God of judgment, and a God of punishment. And that is true. God have all of those attributes. And those who do not receive the love and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ will one day experience a terrible day of God's judgment. But wrath and judgment are not the essential nature of God. God's nature is not judgment. And we can't find that nowhere in the Word of God. God does judge. God is just and holy to reveal the very nature of God. Let's go to the book of 1 John. That's 1 John chapter number
4:8. 1 John 4:8. And it reads this way. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
The very nature of God, love, the agape, is God, real God's very nature. God just doesn't have love. God just doesn't operate in love. God is love. Love is the very nature. Love is the true character of God. You remember Elijah in the Old Covenant? Elijah's actions and obedient to God. Oh, yes, he was obedient to God with his actions. But they were not the complete representation of the nature of God. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, cannot give us a total revelation of God by himself or by itself. We need the New Testament, the New Covenant, to understand the fullness of our God. We want to go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 1. Let us read the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Let's read 14 also, please.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. The same book, John. Let us go to chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And we want to read verse 9.
John 14, verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?
Jesus is the walking, living Word. And when we see him, we see the Father. So, the problem with many Christians, the problem that many Christians are facing, is that they are seeing the Father. They are seeing God through the Old Testament instead of through Jesus. They misunderstand and are confused about who God really is and the relationship he wants to have with them, because they see him through the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, and all they see is harsh judgment, punishment, and wrath. And that's not a realistic picture of who our God is. In the Old Testament, God had to deal with mankind. God had to deal with sin also in a different manner. And we're going to continue to study the scriptures that reveal this to us. But when Jesus came, Jesus brought the true revelation of the Father to mankind, and he operated very differently. As you can see, Jesus, before the cross, dealt with the sin individually. God did no longer have to deal with the sin. When Jesus came on the scene, he dealt with the sin individually before the cross, then collectively all the sins of the world on the cross, and all the Father had to do was just release his true nature to a people. Release the Father heart of love. The abundance of love a love feast in his presence. I call it a spiritual love tsunami, an overflow of the love of God. And maybe there's someone out there today, someone in studio, someone in the listening community, that haven't experienced, encountered the Father's heart of love. But this is the day, this is the hour, this is the moment, because Jesus is here. And Jesus always comes to show us the Father and to take us to the Father. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. And Jesus been knocking on the door of our hearts, been knocking on the door of your heart for a season. And he won't stop knocking. He will not. Because he waited for you to open up the door. And today is the day. The Word of God says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you hear that knock. You open up the door of your heart and allow Jesus to come in. And he say, I will sup with you. And the word sup means fellowship. And he say, I will let you sup with me. And I will let you fellowship with me. That's that intimate relationship. But better yet, he's the way to the Father. And he will take you and allow you to have a supernatural encounter with the Father's heart of love, a supernatural encounter with that abundant love, a supernatural encounter with the love that can only fill the empty void that's on the inside of you. Oh, this is the day of your miracle. This is the day of your visitation. So by the power of the Spirit of God, I'm going to stop, I'm going to drop, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn it over to Minister Smith and just ask her to take her to the cross that we may see the Father's heart of love.
The Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this has just been a blessing for us, and I pray that it has been a blessing to you. Now, when I say this has been a blessing, it is the very spoken word of God. As Minister Copeland and myself read the scriptures, we pray that you have allowed those scriptures to just rest in your heart, to have breathed over you, that it would ignite you to surrender yourself to God. To allow your total being to be renewed, revived, or as we know, born again. And this is what God wants for us, is that we become born again in newness of life, that we would have intimacy with him, the very nature of God. So this is a time in the broadcast where we knuckle down, if you will, and get serious about our eternal life. Where do you want to spend eternity? It should be a no-brainer. But it is hard for some to answer that question. So, this is the question. Where do you want to spend eternity? Now, it would be immature of us to assume that every listener to this broadcast is a born-again believer, meaning they are saved. We cannot assume that. But what we can do, love to you, as Scripture tells us, extending the very love of God to you through salvation. So let's take care of this. As you come to the Father, as humble as you know how, in all intimacy of your knowing, and we come to the feet of Jesus, and we pray with you. Minister Copeland said, according to Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Now that's God. That is the Lord letting us know that he wants to sup with you and you with him. So now it is time for you, according to according to Romans 10:9, to understand that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, that's the humbleness and humility and intimacy in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He's talking to you. So my brother, my sister, let's go to the Lord in prayer as simple as you know how. Get your mind right, your heart regulated, and repeat after me. Now it's my words, but it's your intimacy, your heart, your life change that you want to happen. And it's all about you and God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Simple, but necessary. So pray with me as I pray these words to the Lord. So my brothers and sisters who are listening, who are in the family of Christ, we encourage you to lift up those that you have been interceding for on a weekly basis, daily basis, whatever the case may be. Lift them up by name. Continue to go in the trenches in prayer for them, that one day they will do the same, and that is surrender their life to Christ and be anchored in him. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. Here I am, Lord, surrendering my life to you. I want to turn from my sins and turn to my faith in you. Lord, I now invite you to come into my heart and life today. For I know you have set this day for me to come into intimacy with you. For this is not a just because. This is because I've been hearing you over time, and now I want to get right with you. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior of my life. Lord, I pray this simple prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And amen. Well, praise ye the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. They flow from him and him alone. They flow good measure. They flow pressed down, shaken together, and they flow running over. So we thank you for doing what you needed to do today. The very breath that we breathe is not in and of ourselves. It is from the Creator God. God that created all. So we are super excited because you, my brother, you, my sister, have given your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and amen. The angels are rejoicing because of you. You surrendered to God. And this is what brings joy to him, is that a soul, one soul amongst many, have surrendered their life to him. So we encourage you to seek out, as we do, broadcast after broadcast, to seek out a Bible teaching church, one that would baptize you in submersion of water. And when you arise, hallelujah, you are now letting the world know before witnesses that you are a Christ follower. Amen. That you have given your life to Christ. Praise God. We also encourage you to seek out small group, maybe within your community or a Sunday school class within that church, that you would be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace. Now, this is what we encourage you to do with Mission from the Heart. As you continue to grow with us, that you would seek out a Sunday school or an additional small group, that you would grow and go. So that our God would use you as his earthen vessel to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would continue to spread the word of God along with us, is our prayer. So I'm going to give Minister Copeland an opportunity to just praise with us, as we are in joy of you surrendering your heart. Minister Copeland?
Amen. This is most definitely a joyous occasion. We know that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. We know that the heart, the Father's heart of love, is satisfied, for he looks for that opportunity that he can find his lost children and even those that strayed away to come back that he can grab them in his arms, and that he can allow them to lay their head on his bosom, and that he can even give them a loving father kiss, his sons and his daughters. Oh, that's a joyous occasion. And I say, welcome my brother, and welcome my sister. Welcome into the family of the living God. Welcome into the new kingdom. For through your confession in the person of the Christ, in the blood of Jesus, you were supernaturally snatched out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the light of God, dear son. Hallelujah. And all we can do is just rejoice and be glad. For now you are a member, man. You're a member of the body of Christ. You're a son and daughter in the kingdom of God. And Romans 8 and 17 will tell us that you're heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians tell us that every member of the body is important. I say, you're important to me, you're important to Minister Smith, you're important to the rest of your brothers and sisters, amen, because we need you, because you have a part to play in the body, you have a job to do in the body that nobody can do but you. And it's an honor that you have surrendered to your divine calling upon your life. As I always say, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you. And every day, no matter what's going on, continue to open your heart and let the love of God continue to flow from his heart to your heart. And I pray for just every day a greater encounter with the Father's heart of love. And as you be obedient to the instructions that were given by the Spirit of God through Minister Smith, and you grow in the Word of God, I pray that God gives you a greater revelation of how much he loves you. Revelation so great that it will blow your mind. Paul says, so high you can't go over it, it's so low you can't go under it, the length, the breadth, and the width of it, you can't go around it. Amen. So all we can do is just receive and say, here I am, Lord. Love on me in this hour. Again, I welcome you into the family. And I say, congratulations for making the greatest decision that you'll ever have to make in your life. In Jesus' name. Amen. It looks like we have a couple of minutes left, so I'm going to continue in the teaching. I make this statement concerning the covenants, the Old Covenant, Old Testament, New Covenant, New Testament, and the Christ that makes the difference. Amen. When he showed up in the New Covenant, he made a big difference. Amen. And it looks in the natural, with the natural eyes, that God's heart turned from a heart of harsh punishment and judgment to a heart of love, which is not true. But that's how it looks naturally, and this is not a natural walk. But what I would say is, if Jesus would have manifested himself in the Old Covenant naturally like he did in the New Covenant, he would have rebuked Elijah for calling down fire on the people. You remember we read last week with James and John, when the Samaritans rejected Jesus, James and John wanted to call down fire and just roast them to ashes. And Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, you know not what spirit you're operating under, because the Christ is here. And he said, I come not to destroy men. So if now, this is an if, Minister Copeland's if, Jesus was manifested in the Old Testament, he would have had to rebuke Elijah. And Joshua would have never killed every man and every woman and every boy and every girl and every cattle when he took over the city. And old Moses would have got rebuked so many times, because it's the Christ that makes the difference between the judgment of God and the very nature of God, which is love. And if that Christ would have manifested, our Christ would have manifested in the old covenant, the judgment of God would have had to cease. And the very nature of God would have started to be released into the hearts and the minds of the people. Because it's the manifestation of the Christ that makes the difference between the two covenants and how God relates to the people that are in the covenants. Now, it is clear in the Word of God, it never was God's desire to have to deal with mankind so firmly. That never was his real nature. That never was his real character. And because that wasn't known and sin was present, but the Savior, the Lord, the Master wasn't, God had to reveal himself in that harsh way. It looked like a misimpression of God. But the old covenant just could not see God in his fullness because sin was in the way. And see, one sad thing, because of people trying to reveal God to a new covenant people through the old covenant, most of us don't really recognize or understand the depth of the love, somebody said love, mercy, somebody said mercy, and compassion that God has toward us. And this wrong impression of God keeps us at arm's length. And many don't want to have a relationship with him. That's why it's so important for us to harmonize, somebody say harmonize, all the Word of God, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Only then, somebody say only then, can we get a firm understanding of God's true nature. Amen. And we are going to draw the line and stop there, but we will be coming back next week, and we will be going deeper into the very nature of God. And we are going to reveal by Scripture that grace, the unmerited favor of God, grace was operating in the old covenant. Don't you miss it. We want to see you there. Have a wonderful day. Minister Smith?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we will be looking at grace, my brothers and sisters. So Minister Harold and I encourage you to tune in to the broadcast next week, and we will continue this fascinating ride of God's very nature, his very nature. And it just refreshes me, and it just propels me and rejuvenates me to express that to others. And that is what the Lord God wants us to do. Love him first. As we love ourselves, we are to love others. And it's his very nature within us, the love that he showers down on, in, and through us for others to experience. So, as Minister Copeland said, we will be back. And I pray that you will continue to join us on this, through this ministry, Mission from the Heart. So just come ready, willing, and able, and bring someone with you. Share us with others that need to hear, and most of all, need to come into a relationship with the Savior. Don't just keep it for yourself, my brother, my sister. Share it. This is what God wanted us to do. He said, go, in Matthew 28, as we read 16 through 20, those verses, go. And that is an important word, go. So we encourage you to go and tell it on the mountain, if you will, to others about the broadcast, and most of all about God's amazing word, the gospel. So now that we've come to the end of this broadcast, but of course not to the end of our mission, we know that the word of God remains, and we know seasons come and go, but it is our heartfelt compassion that we continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand and continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, as Minister Copeland says, we continue to have a blessed day, but we pray that your week is filled with joy, filled with praise, and a hallelujah time concerning Jesus Christ. So we'll see you again, and continue in the faith with Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless you.